As you may have guessed by the continued silence in this feed, I'm still deep in research for our first case. But in the process of that research, I've come across something important that I want to share with all of you. In fact, it's the exact reason why I haven't produced our first episode. When I first decided to start researching true crime, to start looking at making a podcast about true crime, I thought, like I'm sure many people who go into this field do, that I would go out there and I would laser focus on the research and I would find the story in air quotes, that I could sift through everything out there, measure everything against each other, remove the falsehoods, remove the differences, and find a convergence at what is closest to the true story of the crime. The reality is, what you find when you begin to research cases of true crime is conflicting details, emotional opinions presented as facts, factual errors, like the wrong names or the wrong places or incorrect timelines. And the problem here is that there's no verification process. There's nothing that you can hold these accounts up to measure whether they are true or false. Because as a citizen and not a law enforcement official, you do not have access to the case file where that verification has been done. So when you find one story that says this person came home at 6 and another story says they came home at 7, you have no way of knowing which of those is true. Was it 6 or was it 7? For the most part, when you are researching true crime, all you have is research, which is built upon other research. You spend a lot of time reading blogs that have read other blogs that have read other blogs that have read other blogs. And as you can imagine, that process is dangerous, especially in a medium that is so error-prone. Because what that can lead to is a house of card effect. That if this blogger is reporting information from this blogger, and that one is reporting from this blogger, and that one is reporting from this news report, which is reporting from this newspaper article. And one of the facts in that newspaper article is incorrect, then all of the people in that line have a false fact. And it happens a lot in newspapers, because newspapers have quick turnover. Deadline, tomorrow. Which is why when you read newspapers to find the story, you don't read one article. You have to read the ongoing coverage because they continue to correct their facts. In the case I'm researching now, the victim's mother's name was wrong in the first report. The second day, it was fixed. That's the way that kind of reporting works and has worked for a very long time. But when you have bloggers and podcasters and television shows only looking at one account of newspapers, most often they're pulling incorrect facts or they're making assumptions of what the facts are based off of sometimes nothing. What this can also lead to is a preponderance of theory-driven research, in which, in this case, podcasters will go to research a case and already have a theory in mind, which leads to bias. But the most insidious, the most dangerous, in my opinion, in my short time doing this, are the researchers who give no sources at all. They often sound legitimate. They often have many followers on YouTube or their blog or on social media. But the problem with people who give no sources is that you have no way as a listener or a researcher of judging where the line is for that person between the facts, their opinions, their theories, lies, things they threw in to spice things up, assumptions they've made. Even Unsolved Mysteries, which is the show that got us all interested in true crime, or at least the majority of us. Even Unsolved Mysteries was notorious for inaccuracy. When you actually begin to work on cases that were covered on Unsolved Mysteries, you find exactly how inaccurate they were, how they would play up the sensational aspects of the story, feed in details that maybe weren't there, and how they would often leave out facts and counter opinions and counterpoints. There were researchers that worked on the show, researchers like John E. L. Tenney, who left the show as researchers over arguments with the producers about the inaccuracies. This is why I think that if you are going to do something like true crime, something that affects people's lives, our research should be extensive. We should be driven to prove the facts that we find wrong, not prove them right. That they should have to survive some sort of stress test. We should find as many sources as possible. Not one, not five, 50, 100. Keep digging. Keep verifying your sources. Keep smashing them against each other. And when we are looking for sources, we should be looking for sources that are closer to firsthand sources and further from second, third, fourth, fifth, sometimes 10-hand sources. Reporters who spoke to the actual families, to the actual law enforcement officials, facts that are released from the law enforcement officials. And less on blogs that were written 20 years after the crime that only list other blogs as sources. Now, this may seem like I'm building up why what I'm doing or what I think I'm doing is right and why so many other people are wrong. But what I'm really trying to build up here is the importance of what is being done. That when we are dealing with cases like I am, of the unsolved and the missing, we're dealing with the lives of other people. These are cases where things can still be done. This is the danger that I see in the weekly schedule that's so common among podcasters. That in the true crime genre of podcasting, pushing out an episode every week, even if you have a team working on that research, will leave you with a less accurate product. Because the concern of a weekly schedule is with deadline, not with accuracy. Which I'm not claiming anyone out there is trying to be inaccurate. I'm just saying 7 days of research is not enough. And this is why when I started doing this, I realized I had to do things differently. And what I choose to do may not lead to more accuracy, because I may not be as good of a researcher as some of these other people. I won't know until I actually do it. But I had to choose a method that felt right to me, that had integrity, that matched my integrity, I should say. I don't want to insinuate that anyone out there doesn't have integrity. But looking at myself and applying that to a weekly schedule, I knew, number one, that I wouldn't have the time to do it even well without even worrying about the accuracy. But when I got into it and started understanding how difficult it was to find accuracy in this, I knew that I couldn't even do it monthly. So I've chosen the path of Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, in which the research dictates when the episodes come out. That when I feel I've reached the pinnacle of my research, that I've found as many sources as I can, and that I understand the story as best I can, and that I've weeded out as much inaccuracy as I can, then I produce an episode. I think I owe that to the victims and the families. So when you are out there listening to true crime, check their sources. And remember that even if they have a lot of sources, there's still a good chance of inaccuracy, because if we knew the facts exactly as they were, they wouldn't be unsolved and they wouldn't be missing. So as I'm going through this research, there will be long periods of silence in this feed, but the show has not gone inactive. And when I have little nuggets like this, things that are unrelated to a specific case, or things that come up that don't fit into an episode, or things that would be detours or tangents within episodes, I'm going to make little bonus episodes like this. And you can also go over to Instagram and follow my account, Further QST, where at least once a week, I'm putting up a little nugget of something around true crime, asking questions about stuff that I'm reading or TV shows that I'm watching or podcasts that I've listened to. I think it's a great place for us to begin to talk about this world of true crime. So thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking around. And I think I'll put out another bonus episode in a little bit explaining the origins of Further Questions and why the case of the Long Island serial killer almost stopped me in my tracks.